Well, good morning again. I hope everybody's having a good weekend. I know we've been busy, but it's been good. We've had some good weather, and it's been nice to enjoy the sunshine and not real high humidity. It's actually been very pleasant, so thank the Lord for that, and thank the Lord for His safety. We pray for safety all the time, and the Lord watches over us, so thank the Lord for safety. This morning, if you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, and in chapter 27, I'd like to take my text this morning from Matthew chapter 27 and verse 22. And in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 22, the Bible says this right here. At this point, Jesus is standing before Pilate. He's about to be crucified. And Pilate has examined him. And he knows it's for envy that the people of the Jews, the rulers and the Pharisees, have brought him before him. And after his examination, Pilate comes back out before the rulers and before the Pharisees. And he asks them a question. In verse 22 it says, Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with this Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, Let him be crucified. And this morning, I'd like to take this opportunity, and with the help of the Lord, I'd like to preach on this thought, What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Now, first of all, I'd like to say this right here. That every one of us, have a decision to make about Jesus. Now, some of us have already made a decision. And in fact, a lot of us have already made a decision. And I'm going to take the Bible this morning and we're going to look at three men, and what they did with Jesus. And I want to take these three men and for an example to ask you to dig in your mind and to see if maybe you have done the same thing these men have done. And where you stand and your decision with what you will do with Jesus. I want to say this. It does not matter what our religion is. It does not matter what our ethnicity is. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter your status in life or where you're from. None of these things will stop you from having to make a decision. You are what you are right now. As you sit here this morning, you are what you are. And you're at where you're at in life. Your lot in life has placed you in a certain place. Same thing for me. But what am I going to do with Jesus? Three men. The first man I'd like to look at, if you'll take your Bible and turn over two books, or to the book of John. And in John chapter 19, we're going to take a little bit deeper look at this man Pilate we just read about in Matthew chapter 27. The first man I'd like to examine and what he did with Jesus Christ is that man Pilate. And in John chapter 19, I'm going to do some reading this morning. And I want you to pay attention as much as you possibly can. Not so much to every word, but the story, the account of Jesus Christ. And what happened here and how He was treated and what was said about him. And in John chapter 19, I'm going to read in verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it upon his head. And they put him in a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Now I'm going to stop right there a second. We're speaking of Jesus Christ here. Pilate has Jesus Christ in his possession. He don't have to go look for him. Jesus didn't come looking for him. But he was brought to him. And Jesus is now in this man's possession. Now Pilate was a ruler. He had a certain area, as Herod had an area of jurisdiction. And they were rulers in that area of the Roman Empire at this time. The Jews were subservient to the Romans because they had been taken over. But of the Jews' religion, they had their own rulers and they had their own people of high esteem, especially in their religion. And these people had brought Jesus to the rulers of them, the Romans. And they said, Hey, we want this man crucified. We want him dead. Pilate has examined him. He's bringing him before the court of law, and he's examining him to find out, has Jesus done something worthy of death? Verse 4. And Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto him, Behold, I bring you him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Pilate's telling the people right now, this man's innocent. Y'all have made a lot of accusations against him. You've accused him of a lot of things. But I find no fault in this man. Verse 5. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto him, Behold the man. And the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him. They cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Verse 8. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and said unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee, and I have the power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Verse 12. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. I want to say, first of all, this right here. Pilate was brought Jesus. And Pilate had in his power, he even claimed to his own mouth, in his own power, to either release him or crucify him. And for fear of political retribution or loss of power, he chooses to crucify Jesus, knowing he's an innocent man. Take your Bible, turn back to the book of Luke. Turn back to the book of Luke in chapter 23. And in Luke 23, I want to read some verses here. This is another account of the same thing, but it's going to shed a little bit more light on it. And in Luke chapter 23 and verse 1, we're speaking of Jesus here. And it says, "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate." And this is the group of people who brought Jesus to Pilate because they hated him. These are the Jews. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that himself is Christ the King." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou a king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee unto this place." Verse 6, now pay attention here. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at the time. Verse 8. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he had hoped to have seen some miracle done of him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Verse 12. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together. For before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto him, "Ye have brought me this man. Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you. I have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accused him." Verse 15. "No, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him." Verse 16. "I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one of them at the feast." And they cried all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who was a certain sedition made into the city, and for a murder was cast into prison." Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake unto them again, but cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and the chief priest prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. I've read all that to say this right here. The first man I want to look at and what he did with Jesus is Pilate. Pilate was a ruler. Pilate examined Jesus and the accusations they made against him, and he found him to be innocent. But through the pressure of the people, and for political gain with him and Herod, and for his friends' sake, and for the sake of his contributions, he crucified the Lord. I want to say this first of all. We need to examine ourselves. What are we doing with Jesus? Are we accepting Jesus Christ as an innocent man and willing to accept and believe him? But for political reasons or social political reasons, will crucify because it doesn't fit in with our plan. We see the political leaders and the rulers and powerful in government with governmental friends and positions. He wanted to let Jesus go. Not guilty. No wrong done. And because fear of loss of his position or friends or power, they're willing to let an innocent man die. Pilate would rather that Jesus be killed and crucified rather than anyone question his loyalty to the Roman government. I want to look at the second man. Take your Bible, the book of John, just one chapter over, or not chapter, one book over, and John chapter 9. And in the book of John, in chapter 9, I'm going to read some verses here. And we're going to look at the second man. Now, the first man was a political man, a ruler of government. Now, this second man we're going to look at, not much unlike the first, but a different category. And in John chapter 9, in verse 1, the Bible says this, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man, which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he hath thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and saith unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation, sent. He went his way, therefore, and was washed, and came seeing." Now we see here the Lord Jesus Christ has performed a miracle. He saw a blind man. When Jesus was going through his travels, he saw a blind man. Now the religious crowd always associated deformity or something wrong with you with sin in your life or sin in your parents' life. This is the judgment of God. Jesus cleared that up and said, No, it's not for judgment or sin. He said, neither this man has sinned or his parents. He said, for the glory of God, he was made blind. He was made blind so when I came along, I could heal him. And therefore, by healing him, would bring glory to God. You would think, well, what could be wrong with that? Who in the world would be unhappy about Jesus Christ healing somebody? If I went down, I think I said this last week, if I went down to the hospital and the Lord had given me power to heal everybody, wouldn't everybody be happy? Wouldn't everybody be happy, you would think? No, as soon as they asked me what I thought about politics, or as soon as they asked me what I think about what right and wrong is, they wouldn't be happy with me. They wouldn't care what I did. I would be wrong. You say, Brother Sam, there's no way. We're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about God manifested in the flesh here on earth. Verse 8. Here we go. Here's those people who saw this miracle. Let's see what they say about Jesus. "The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged?" Verse 9. "Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he." He cleared it up for him. Verse 10. "Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go wash in the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and I received my sight. Then they said unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. Verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Now here's where it's going to get interesting, brethren. Jesus has done this wonderful work. People have noticed, and his testimony is that Jesus Christ did this. Now we got the religious crowd. We're going to find out what the religious people and what the religious leaders and those who have told everybody what they need to do to be right, what do they think about this Jesus Christ? What is the religious crowd going to do with Jesus? Now we saw already what the political crowd is going to do and what the government wants to do. They're going to sacrifice Jesus on the altar of self-preservation. Let's look at what the religious leaders do with Jesus. Verse 14. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Ha! Hey, here is a Pharisee who is a ruler of the Jews when it comes to religious things, and he says, This man might have healed you. There's no way he was of God because he broke the Sabbath by healing you. These guys are the biggest hypocrites in the whole world. Let me ask you a question. According to Jewish law, when a child, male child, was born, there was supposed to be a circumcision made on the eighth day. Was it not? And you were to keep that? That was law. On the eighth day, you had circumcision. Did you not? Let me ask you something. If on the Sabbath, which we say the first day of the week, let's say it's Monday, are there no children born on Saturday or Sunday? The eighth day on the Sabbath day, if you go 8 days back, what do you have? Are there no children circumcised on the Sabbath day? Hey, in America alone, thousands of children are born every day. Thousands. Now, I'm going to say this. In the land of Israel, when you had over 2 million people, 2 to 4 million people at this time, there was at least 1,000. 1,000 births. Are you telling me that these Pharisees did not perform under the law circumcision because it was the Sabbath? No! They didn't care what day it was. If it was the eighth day, that was the day it was done. They obeyed the law. But here they are accusing Jesus because he healed a man that he couldn't be of God. That's the first thing your religious crowd's going to do, is they're going to take the Word of God and pervert it and make Jesus a sinner to justify themselves. Religious crowd. Verse 16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, that this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division amongst them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? Blind man, he said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. They thought, this man's making this stuff up. They don't even believe him. Verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, for he shall speak for himself. Verse 22, here's the key. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed, that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again they called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they unto him again, what did he do? What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore will ye hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? And they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know what God spake unto Moses, for as this fellow we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not a sinner. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus saith unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. I want to say this right here. I've read that account of those verses for this reason right here. The first man we looked at was Pilate in his political stand, and where he divided the line between Jesus and political gain. The second people we look at here are the religious leaders. They have made a rule, you won't go after Jesus. You won't claim he's a Christ. You won't give any attention to him, or we'll throw you out of our religion. You saw for fear that the parents were afraid to say, Jesus, you are our son. You know what they did? They did a cop out. He don't know about him. They don't want to get thrown out of their religion. Listen, at this day and age, when they were going to the synagogue, the entire families would go. And when a family or a member was tossed out, the whole family was done the same way. They feared the religion and the religious people. The religious people had made a rule. You won't claim he's God. You won't claim he's Christ. He's not the Messiah. Why? That took away their power. That took away their authority. It took away their prestige. What did these people do with Jesus? Well, I want to tell you this. These Pharisees and these rulers are the exact ones who brought Jesus to Pilate. They wanted to crucify Jesus also. The religious crowd, they fear religious and the religious things, or religion, more than God. and more than Jesus. Not only did Pilate give up Jesus for political gain, the religious crowd, they'll give up Jesus for their personal gain. I want to look at the third man this morning. In the book of John, Mark, chapter 10. In the book of Mark, in chapter 10, I want to look at a man that's more like us. And I say that this way right here. I'm not a political leader. I don't know that any of you are political leaders. I am a religious leader of a sort. I don't know that you are religious leaders of sorts. But this third man kind of goes down where it's personal to all of us. Because we all had to do what this man did, the Lord tells him to do. And in Mark chapter 10, we're going to read in verse 17. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is passing again some way. And when the Lord's walking this way, something happens. Let's read in verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" That's a pretty good question. That's pretty good rapport right there. He runs after Jesus. He calls him the good master. He kneels down to him. He shows reverence to the Lord. He's at the right man. He's at the right place. And he's asking the right question. What can I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus saith unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." Verse 19, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother." That's a pretty big list there. Verse 20, "And this rich young ruler, he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I have observed from my youth." Hey, I want to say this right here. This is a good young man. He's probably grew up in a good religious household that feared God, loved the Lord, and his parents taught him right from wrong at a young age. And not only did they teach him right from wrong from a young age, but he was brought up to fear God. Now, he doesn't have the problem of the first man. He wasn't a ruler. He obviously didn't care about political things because he ran after Jesus. He had no fear of political things, retribution. And secondly, I don't believe he had any fear of the religious crowd because he ran after Jesus and publicly bowed down to Jesus and said, "Good master." He has another problem. Problem we all have. Verse 21. "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross," or take up the cross, "and follow me." Verse 22. "And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Verse 23. "And Jesus looked around about, and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God." I want to say this right here. Every one of us has to make a decision of what we're going to do with Jesus Christ. Pilate chose political gain. The Pharisees chose to sacrifice the Lord. her envy. The rich young ruler here, the Bible says he was a good man. The Bible says Jesus loved him. The Bible says he went away. He didn't follow the Lord. The Bible says he went away. Jesus said it was for one reason. Jesus said, there's just one thing you're lacking. I want to say this right here to you this morning. All of us have one thing that stands between us and Jesus Christ. Every one of us have had something in our life that we have placed on a higher plane and on a higher priority than Jesus Christ. And at some point in our life, we had to take it down. We had to remove it, and we had to put Jesus first. Pilate crucified the Lord for political correctness and advancement. The Pharisees made the people fear for their own preservation. The rich young ruler walked away from the Lord for personal loss. I want to give you three verses this morning. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read them to you. I want you to think about this morning. The rich young ruler for personal loss. Now. He would have to sell everything now. But Jesus said, you're going to have great treasure in heaven. But right now, we have to give up something now. I wonder if you thought about your own personal life. Is there something that's standing between you and Jesus Christ and your life of service and your giving your life to the Lord and loving Him like you ought to? Is there something that you're unwilling to give up now? You can have great treasure. I can read you some of the promises that Jesus gave us, that whosoever gave up houses and land and family and wives and children and jobs and all the things that we have to give up sometimes, He said He's going to reward us 100-fold. Is there something standing between you and Jesus today? Is there something that you're not willing to let go for Jesus? He obviously didn't think about his family or the synagogue or the other followers of Jesus that were there. Not only did he run and fall down and worship him, he's seeking the Lord for direction. The Lord gave him the direction. He wasn't willing to give it up. I wonder if anyone here today has heard the gospel. I wonder if there's anybody here today that knows that Jesus Christ is God. I wonder if there's anybody here today that knows that the Lord requires you to repent of your sin. To turn from your wicked ways. And let Him be the Lord and Savior. But you're not willing to follow Jesus for the one thing. One sin. One pleasure that you're not willing to give up. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, and fear not them which is kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear Him which is able to kill or destroy both soul and body in hell. I have to say that to Pilate. I'd have to say, Pilate, don't fear those around you.
and political.
Don't worry about those who can kill you, Pilate. They can only kill your body. But you'd rather fear the one who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. Proverbs 29 says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." I got to say that to those religious leaders. Hey, if you're fearing man, mom and dad, if you're fearing what the people will say about you, people, children, don't fear them. Fear the Lord. And Mark chapter 8 says this right here in verse 36 and 37. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I want to say this morning to you. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus Christ? And I'll say it like this right here. What have you done with Jesus Christ? Because I know there's some here this morning who love the Lord and are saved and trying to serve the Lord. But not everyone has made that decision. I'm going to say this right here. Have you already made your decision that for gain of some worldly position, or for the acceptance of others around you, that you're going to put Jesus Christ aside, or you'll have Him crucified and not for you? Or have you turned from the way that Jesus was in, and when you were there at the place where Jesus gave you instructions, you turned and left it because you aren't willing to give up something you have now here for something better later on? I want to give a moment of invitation. Anybody here this morning can say this right here. You know what, Brother Sam? I don't want nothing between me and the Savior. Brother Sam, I don't want nothing I want to hold on to. I just want Jesus. Please stand for prayer.